Welcome to the Press On Podcast. In this episode, we'll hear from Abby Marshall on Jesus, God's Advocate.
In 2021, I began studying for a Master of Business Administration, which, like many things, was interrupted by the pandemic. Although I went on hiatus from my course for a few years, I did find myself getting bored again. So after two new jobs and a move interstate, I started studying again in early 2024. One of the things I enjoy most about my coursework is how much I'm able to apply so many of the concepts that I'm learning to my everyday life. Earlier this year, I took a class called Advocacy and Social Change, which spotlighted the impact of advocacy and activism in achieving social change. In this class, we looked at campaigns for the proposed Aboriginal Voice to Parliament, climate change, remember the activists throwing soup on the Mona Lisa. We looked at campaigns for marriage equality, housing affordability, renters' rights, and many others. And what stood out to me from this particular class was the connections I was able to draw between the theory we were learning and actions taken by Jesus during his time on earth. So I wanted to delve deeper to see just how much modern advocacy and social change theories apply to the life and work of Jesus. The Old Testament features some great examples of early advocacy. Abraham advocated for Sodom and Gomorrah to be saved, Moses convinced God not to destroy the Israelites, and the prophets were representatives of the people and advocated on their behalf. In ancient Greece, great orators and writers would assist clients in preparing prosecution or defense lawsuits. Patricians, or aristocrats in the Roman Republic, would assist, protect, and defend their dependents and others who sought their assistance. Contemporary advocacy practices emerged through various movements, including abolitionists fighting against slavery, suffragettes advocating for women's voting rights, and early labor movements which pushed for workers' rights. Theories and strategies behind successful advocacy developed throughout the 70s and 80s as more research was conducted and studies continue today. Jesus acted as an advocate throughout his ministry. He advocated and campaigned on behalf of God. I'm going to walk you through how he did this by looking at Jesus's work through the lens of a strategic campaign plan. For context, I'll provide some examples from a modern-day advocacy campaign, Stop Adani. I won't go into incredible amounts of detail on this campaign. However, I think it is useful to include a recent example as a point of reference. So just some background on the Stop Adani campaign. It was a campaign which tried to prevent the development of Adani Group's Carmichael coal mine, which was built in Queensland, Australia between 2019 and 2021. The development of the mine violated Indigenous land rights, promised to have a major environmental impact on the region, and threatened endangered species and put the beloved Great Barrier Reef at risk. Successful modern-day advocacy campaigns are built around several key components: an objective, a target, a strategy, a message, resources, tactics, and reflection. Let's break each of these down, starting with the objective. The objective is the overarching goal or outcome which the campaign aims to achieve. It provides direction and helps to determine what success looks like. Advocacy efforts without a clearly defined objective can lose momentum or become unfocused. In the Stop Adani campaign, the primary objective was to stop the construction and development of the Carmichael coal mine. The Old Testament contains many prophecies about Jesus' life and purpose. Isaiah chapter 11 describes Jesus as a righteous leader who would gather the nations to restore and unite people and nations. Chapter 61 tells of Jesus coming to proclaim the good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim freedom for the captives. But what did Jesus say about his objective? Throughout his ministry, he regularly spoke about his purpose, often directly quoting Old Testament prophecies, including Isaiah. His goals included teaching and preaching, fulfilling the law, caring for the poor and marginalized, establishing a new relationship between people and God, warning of the final judgment, and ultimately sacrificing his life as a ransom for many. Put together, these goals form an overarching objective. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So for the purpose of structuring Jesus' ministry in the format of a campaign plan, we'll say that Jesus' objective was to fulfill God's plan of saving the lost. The target focuses on who the campaign is directed at and identifies who may have the most power to help achieve the campaign's objective. This could include policymakers, a specific government department or representative, the general public, corporations, or community leaders. A clear target helps advocates to tailor messages and tactics to the appropriate target audience. Some campaigns choose to focus on just one target, whilst others identify multiple. Without a clearly defined target, advocacy campaigns may not utilize their resources efficiently, provide the right messaging, take advantage of opportunities for engagement, be able to leverage pressure or influence or gain public support, and can ultimately lose credibility. In the Stop Adani campaign, they targeted key decision makers, corporations, and government entities which had influence over the mine's approval and funding. And we know that Jesus came to save everyone, so that anyone who believes is baptized and will be saved. That's a pretty broad target audience. But we can identify three clear targets in his ministry. First, the Jews. Then after her baby is born, named him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jewish leaders. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. And the Gentiles. I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen. I must also bring them together when they hear my voice. Then there will be one flock of sheep and one shepherd. Strategy is the big picture plan for how a campaign is going to achieve its objective. It outlines how target or targets will be approached and helps to prioritize resources and efforts to maximize impact. Various strategies may be used at different points in the campaign, and adjustments may be made based on the effectiveness of each approach. Each strategy incorporates specific tactics to enhance its effectiveness, which will come up later on when we look at campaign tactics. The Stop Adani campaign utilized elite-level advocacy, partnership-based advocacy, confrontational advocacy, mobilization, and community-based advocacy. Advocacy strategies that I identified in Jesus' work include confrontational advocacy, cooperative advocacy, organizing, and mobilizing. I'll go into further detail on these when we look at the tactics section of the campaign plan. Parade advocacy campaigns tend to promote three or four key messages which support the main objective of the campaign. These messages explain why your objective is important, who it affects, and how the target can help make change. They should tell a complete story of change and leave space for the decision maker to act in favor of the advocate or change maker. The framing of these messages can impact whether decision makers understand or are compelled to help you meet your objective. Without a powerful message, it's difficult to inspire action or change. Messaging in the Stop Adani campaign focused on climate justice, Indigenous rights, and environmental protection, particularly the impact on the Great Barrier Reef. Jesus' key messaging was about a new way of life, an emphasis on love, acceptance and forgiveness, developing a personal relationship with God and repenting in order to receive everlasting life. His first message was a new and living way. The old way is gone and a new way is here. When asked about the greatest commandment, Jesus introduced the new commandment to the Pharisees, love God and love others. This marked a new way of life. Jesus often quoted Old Testament scriptures, reframing them to enforce his new commandment. He had transformed old customs, offering not just alternative practices, but a new mindset. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, he reinterpreted an eye for an eye into do not fight against an evil person and in fact turn the other cheek as well. In another instance, when the disciples picked grain on the Sabbath, the Pharisees accused them of breaking the law. Jesus responded by citing the story of David, teaching that mercy outweighs ritual sacrifice and declared, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He established himself as an authority over the Sabbath and interpreted the deeper intent of the law, which was to serve their well-being. By providing clear, relatable examples, Jesus invited the people to understand his message and change their behavior. His reinterpretation of the law was deeper and more compassionate. He knew that behavioral change was key for salvation, so he made it understandable and accessible to those who learned from him. His second message was turn the other cheek, love, acceptance, and forgiveness. The message of love, acceptance, and forgiveness was intertwined not only in Jesus' teachings, but his actions. He dined with tax collectors and sinners, he forgave sins through miraculous public healings, and interacted with people of various ethnicities and statuses. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus taught that love should transcend social, ethnic, and religious boundaries. When religious leaders sought to condemn an adulterous woman, Jesus said, let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. When no one did, he told her, neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. Jesus accepted and forgave her, extending his grace despite the fact that she had been deemed unworthy by society. And even on the cross, Jesus modeled love and forgiveness, praying for those executing him, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. By living according to these principles, Jesus showed that love, acceptance, and forgiveness are essential for salvation and provided the ultimate example for his followers. His third message was, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. A personal relationship with God is key. Before Jesus, the Jews had a conventional relationship with God, requiring regular offerings and sacrifices for forgiveness, with prophets and mediators interceding on their behalf. In Jeremiah 31, verses 33 to 34, God spoke of a new covenant where I will be their God and they will be my people and they will all know me. Jesus initiated this new covenant, allowing people to truly know God. Through his actions and teachings, Jesus embodied God's character and told his disciples that anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He demonstrated God's power through miracles such as calming the storm, raising Lazarus, and feeding the 5,000. By referring to God as the Father, Jesus also helped to reframe thinking to allow people to develop a close and personal fatherly relationship with him. Jesus' death on the cross, the final sacrifice, allowed people to draw near to God with a sincere heart, granting access to him that was previously unattainable. It also made life significantly easier for the Jews in particular, who, until that point, had been required to take part in elaborate sacrificial rituals to maintain a relationship with God. Jesus' new commandment made God much more accessible and invited people to develop a more intimate connection with him. And his final message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and receive everlasting life. The core of Jesus' teachings was about the good news of God's kingdom. In fact, Mark's account of Jesus' ministry begins with Jesus proclaiming, the time has come, God's kingdom will soon be here. Turn back to God and believe the good news. He promoted baptism as the ultimate symbol of repentance, through which believers would be saved and granted access to eternal life in God's kingdom. He told Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. This message is attention-grabbing, offers hope, and was likely an especially attractive message to oppressed communities such as the Jews who faced persecution under Roman rule. Baptism welcomed believers into a new spiritual community, transcending divisions of Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, and making them one in Christ Jesus. It also offered the inheritance of God's promises of blessing and salvation made to Abraham. Jesus knew that salvation requires repentance and baptism. Though sinless, he set the perfect example by being baptized himself, showing the way to repent and receive salvation. Together, these messages outline the complete story of Jesus' campaign. They present a compelling case for change, but Jesus never demanded it. He simply shared his message and allowed individuals to make their own decisions. Campaign resources refer to human, financial, and technical support needed to support a campaign. This can include funding, volunteers, workers, and partnerships. The more resources a campaign has, the better. Proper allocation and management of resources is key to maximizing impact. The Stop Adani campaign utilized human, financial, digital, and creative resources. The key resources that Jesus utilized throughout his ministry or campaign were his disciples, the power of God, and his followers. From the beginning, Jesus selected his disciples with the goal in mind that they would go out into the world and spread his message. By cultivating his disciples, he invested in resources which would continue performing long after he'd left. With the power of God, Jesus was able to perform miracles, heal physical ailments, and even raise people from the dead. It also granted him remarkable foresight through which he was able to share the message and hope of the kingdom of God. Jesus' followers were also an incredibly important resource as they often provided financial support, food, and accommodation. As a full-time spiritual leader with no paying job, support from his followers was vital in order for Jesus to continue preaching. Tactics are the specific actions taken to implement the campaign strategy and achieve its objective. They should be flexible and responsive to changing circumstances and should be chosen on how effectively they might influence the campaign's target. Tactics include starting a petition, holding a rally, meeting with key decision makers, etc. As mentioned earlier, certain strategies and tactics are more effective when employed in combination. In the Stop Adani campaign, they utilised elite-level advocacy of governments and financial institutions. They partnered with Indigenous groups, environmental organisations and others. They used confrontational advocacy, including protests and demonstrations. They used mobilisation through large public awareness campaigns, and they spread community-based awareness through slogans and advertising. Jesus utilised a mix of confrontational advocacy, cooperative advocacy, organising and mobilising. I'll now look at these a bit closer and go through some of the tactics which can be employed under each strategy. Confrontational advocacy aims to make a message impossible to ignore, often through protests, demonstrations, blockades and boycotts, as seen in the Stop Adani campaign. This strategy, though hostile, should remain non-violent. Once violence occurs, funnily enough, it no longer qualifies as advocacy. Jesus employed confrontational advocacy by performing miracles and criticizing religious leaders. Though miracles might seem non-confrontational, they drew undeniable attention to Jesus. After witnessing them, people had to confront the idea that he actually could be the Son of God, and it became much harder to dismiss the notion once they had witnessed this proof. An interesting example of this is in Matthew 8, where Jesus cast demons out of two men, sending them into pigs that stampeded and drowned, shocking the town and forcing them to confront him. Jesus also publicly rebuked religious leaders, calling out their hypocrisy, particularly in Matthew 23, where he condemned the Pharisees in front of a large crowd. This bold tactic gained significant attention. Jesus's confrontational advocacy approach targeted both the Jews, who needed more convincing, and Gentiles, who were impacted by his miracles. Cooperative advocacy is much less confrontational. Advocates work together with decision makers and people in power to achieve their goals. The tactic that Jesus implemented in line with this strategy was his practice of peace and nonviolence. He also endorsed peace and nonviolence for everyone, as highlighted in the Beatitudes: blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, and so on. Jesus provided a powerful example of this by being nonviolent and non-resistant during his arrest. This highlighted his ability to intelligently determine the appropriate tactics and strategies to implement for maximum impact in various situations. Mobilizing is an advocacy strategy aimed at engaging as many people as possible, typically in a short-term and low-engagement manner. Modern examples include online petitions or surveys, easily shared through social media with minimal effort. Jesus applied this strategy by making his teachings widely accessible. He often visited places where people were already gathered, like synagogues on the Sabbath. Matthew writes that Jesus went through all the towns and villages. He taught in their synagogues, he preached the good news of the kingdom, and he healed every illness and sickness. By traveling and spreading his message, Jesus ensured people didn't have to seek him out. This approach likely aimed to have people from each town hear and share the message further, an effective mobilizing tactic. Another example is the woman at the well. After a brief conversation, Jesus convinced her that he was the Messiah. She then spread the message to her town, leading many to believe. By engaging just one person, Jesus spread his teachings widely. Similarly, those he healed often shared their experiences, further mobilizing his message. Unlike mobilizing, organizing is a long-term strategy focused on building relationships and trust with a smaller group of people who can then contribute autonomously to the campaign. This is exemplified by Jesus' disciples, a select group whom he mentored for years. They were with him throughout his ministry, observing and learning from him. Jesus shared his long-term plan with the disciples, saying, "I am sending you to harvest crops and fields where others have done all the hard work." He also gave the disciples full autonomy to do as he did by granting them the power and authority to drive out demons and heal sicknesses. Organizing is a powerful strategy, and Jesus successfully used it with his messages spread by his disciples long after his departure. Although it is often overlooked, effective campaign plans require success measurement and reflection on strategy, messaging, and tactics. This helps to determine whether the campaign is meeting its goals. Building in dedicated points for reflection and evaluation allows for any relevant changes to be made to improve the campaign. It's hard to say whether the Stop Adani team incorporated any reflection into their campaign plan. Without being an insider on their plan and strategy, I can't say with certainty if this is something that their team adopted. However, I do know that Jesus prayed daily and regularly prioritized time for solitude and reflection. During his 40 days alone in the desert, I'm sure that much of his time was dedicated not only to prayer, but reflection too. The fact that he found time for it daily is a true indication of just how highly Jesus valued reflection and that it was key to his work on earth. And thus concludes Jesus's campaign plan. What struck me through a lot of this is just how perfect the plan is. Jesus implemented all of these advocacy techniques and strategy thousands of years ago, long before the template of a campaign plan existed. In doing all of this research and structuring Jesus' ministry in this way, what became most apparent was just how meticulously planned and structured it all was. I'm not sure why I was surprised it was so perfect, but it certainly made me appreciate it significantly more. Just in writing about all of it, my brain was often scrambled, so I can't even imagine how much more difficult it would have been for Jesus to plan, organize, and execute it all. It also left me thinking about if we as Christadelphians could benefit from the template of a campaign plan. Like Jesus, can we think about the purpose of our lives in a similarly strategic way? I put together a brief idea of what this could look like, although it could certainly use some further development. For our objective, Jesus told the Pharisees that the most important commandments for us to follow are to love God and love others. So that ultimately should be our objective. Like Jesus, we would also have a broad group of people to target, and this could include people we encounter in our daily lives, our family, friends, colleagues, and strangers. It could also be useful to think about what strategies might work best with our objective. Can we utilize partnership-based and community-based advocacy strategies? How could mobilizing and organizing be implemented in an effective way? Messages which would reinforce our objective could include personal transformation, following the message of love God and love others leads to growth in compassion, patience, and kindness, and can help create a sense of purpose. Healing relationships, acting out of love for others fosters reconciliation and can create stronger, healthier relationships. It can help to diffuse anger and lead to more peaceful and fulfilling connections. A better society. The more people who follow this message, the more people will act with justice, generosity, and care. And this can only result in a stronger and more compassionate and equitable society. And following Jesus' example, the Bible is a rich source of guidance, inspiration, and comfort, and the life of Jesus provides us with the perfect example to follow. There are a wealth of tools and resources available to us, including the Bible, books and articles written by other believers, mentors within our own community, and amazing digital resources that we have access to nowadays, like websites, apps, podcasts, and Press On Journal. We could implement some of the following tactics, many of which we might already be doing, like partnership-based. We could partner closely with other individuals or communities who share the same or similar objectives. For example, participating in small group Bible study or partnering with other Unitarian churches. Community-based, spreading awareness within our local community, for example, outreach, preaching, volunteering, mobilizing, leaning on the strength of our community to help implement particular outreach strategies and spread the word. And I'm sure there's plenty of other tactics that would be really effective there as well. And we all know the importance of prayer. And like Jesus, we can use prayer as a time to reflect, strategize, and pray for guidance. And circling back around to Jesus, how successful was his campaign? Since he left the earth, the number of Christian believers has steadily increased each year. Despite a decline in the Western world, Christianity remains the most popular religion in the world, and the Pew Research Center predicts that it will remain as such for years to come. As for Jesus' thoughts on the matter, I'll leave you with some of his prayer from the Garden of Gethsemane. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began.
Thanks for joining us on the Press On podcast. You've been listening to Abby Marshall. For more, you can visit pressonjournal.org.